Amen. Get into the Word of God this morning. We're going to Judges chapter 16, and then we're going to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. The singing seemed to try to snatch my voice already this morning. Amen. So you bear with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm thankful that I'm able, amen, to declare His Word this morning. Again, welcome everybody. All of our visitors, we thank all of our family that came to support these wonderful graduates. We thank you, welcome you, thank you for being here today. We love you all, amen, praise God, truly do love each and every one of you. Judges chapter 16, verses 4 through 6, and then Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read one verse of scripture, amen. If you don't have a Bible in your hand, amen, it'll be there on the wall. Everybody ready and have it, say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word right now. Come on, let's shake the atmosphere. Amen. Come on, let's shake the atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the sound.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the word. Thankful for the living word. Thankful for the power of the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this folk this morning. What's it take to tie you up? Amen. What's it take to tie you up? Amen. As we look in the book of Judges, amen, Samson is like the biblical Hercules. Most that know anything about the word and even those that may not know a lot have usually at least heard about Samson or taught about him in our little preschool classes and when we come up in church and all of those things, amen. But he is the last of the major judges who led the Israelites. So there's something about Samson, praise the Lord, that the Bible gives us some very distinct things about him. But something that we can see, amen, is that Samson broke vows. Samson married outside of the Israelites twice. And Samson also was really kind of a vigilante. And I said all that so that you could know that Samson was not perfect. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Anybody in here understand, amen, that you and I are not perfect? Amen. There's no law that we can keep that's going to make us such in the eyes of God. Hence the blood of Jesus. But in all of that, in Samson's story, we see grace and the faithfulness of God on Samson's life. Can I get a witness in this place? Amen. The grace and the faithfulness of God. The details of Samson's birth kind of gives us some insight of the destiny that was over Samson's life. Every one of you in this place has a destiny that God has assigned to your, amen, to your being, to the very fact that you are living. God has a destiny assigned to your life. So I want you to understand that this morning. And the details of surrounding his birth kind of give us, amen, some insight into the destiny. Amen. There was a man by the name of Manoah. Amen. Manoah was of the tribe of Dan. And the Bible says that Manoah's wife was barren. Amen. But an angel came to his wife and promised her that she would have a son. Amen. But he told her that she could not contaminate her body with any kind of alcohol because he would be a a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite, amen, was a group of people. We've talked about that before. Men who set themselves aside with vows unto God for the service of God. One of the things that a Nazarite could not do was to take a strong drink. A Nazarite, amen, could not touch anything that was dead or partake of that, amen. And a Nazarite could not cut his hair, amen. And so he told her that God will give you a son, but he will be a Nazarite from birth. Now keep in mind that Nazarites usually only were such, amen, at a certain point in their adult life. The age fails me right now, amen, and it was only for a set amount of time. It was not a lifelong thing, typically, but she said he will be a Nazarite from his birth, amen. And he said, you cannot allow his hair to be cut. A razor shall not come to his head, as the Bible says. And he told her that he would begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So we get a real clear picture of the destiny that is over Samson's life. Amen. And so the Bible even tells us that when she informed Manoah of the visitation, Manoah said, I need to know this for myself. And the Bible says that the angel visited Manoah and confirmed to Manoah that his wife indeed would have a son just as she had said it would be. And so we see, amen, that the Bible tells us that Samson was indeed born. But his story, amen, skips from birth into adulthood. So we don't see a lot about Samson's actual childhood. Amen. We don't see any details of what Samson's childhood was like. We do know, amen, from the point that we pick up from his birth to his adulthood, that he did follow the Nazarite vow, amen. So we do know that that was something that he did. But we can also pick up some things as we come, amen, and pick up at his adulthood. We can see some things that Samson struggled with. We can see some things that Samson had a hard time, had issues with. So we can recollect and put together, amen, that there were some things that his childhood probably was not, amen, perfect as some would imagine. I don't know of anybody in here who had a perfect childhood. You might have had a good one, but let me remind you, and in case you didn't know it, every family represented in this place is dysfunctional. Every family, amen, has dysfunction. Amen. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that God will take whatever the enemy meant for evil? And do you know why there's dysfunction in the family? Because the enemy wants to stop the destiny that's assigned over the lives of each individual, especially the children. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. When these babies were born today, amen, that stood up here today, I guarantee you that the enemy set out, amen, to make their life, amen, difficult and to never see them accomplish what they've accomplished today by graduating. Amen. But aren't you glad that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? And I will tell you that every one of them, amen, got where they got because somebody prayed for them. Somebody prayed. Somebody better help me. Somebody prayed a prayer. Amen. The hand of God was over their life to see that destiny come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, what you got to understand now that Samson is an adult. Are you with me? I'm just laying a little foundation, setting the context of what, amen, is happening. Amen. Now that Samson is a young adult, you have to understand the condition of Israel. You have to understand the condition of the people from where Samson, amen, was born. The Canaanite cults of their time had made made deep inroads into the Jewish life. And so the effects of the pagan worship, amen, and the Canaanite cults, amen, the pagan religions, the effects of them had come over, amen, and had begun to infiltrate into the Jewish life. Amen, so much so that Israel had become estranged from the covenant that God had set with them. Remember that God said, I'll be your God if you will be my people. He gave them a roadmap and laid out for them everything that would be if they would remain faithful to his word. How many knows that he's faithful to his promises?
Yes.
He cannot break them. He cannot change. Come on,
amen.
Somebody, you gotta understand. Hallelujah. But they had become estranged from God's covenant. Much like, amen, a husband and wife when they are separated from their marriage covenant. And there was the Philistines who were descendants of the giant race. Amen. The Philistines who now have been descendants of that giant race. Now they were rude. They were warlike. And they were a restless people. But they had become a very powerful nation. They were a very, very powerful nation at the time of Samson's adulthood. The Bible tells us that they defeated Israel because they were weakened by the idolatry and the disunity. So the fact that they allowed the things of the world to creep in, they allowed the paganism and the cult, amen, worship to enter into their lives. They now, amen, praise the Lord, had become weakened, amen, and there was disunity among the people. Understand that not every one of them, amen, went outside of that covenant, amen, but now they have adopted the idolatry of the Philistines. And the Bible says that this was why they were able, amen, to defeat them and to take over them. Now, when you look at history and you study, amen, the burdens of the wars and the enslavement of the Philistines fell most heavily on the tribe of Dan. Amen. Remember, that's where, amen, Samson's father Manoah was from. He was from the tribe of Dan. And so the burden of fighting the wars and the burden of dealing with the enslavement by the Philistines fell most heavily on that tribe. And so the Bible says now, amen, as a young adult, that Samson came to the town of Timnah. And the Bible said he saw a young Philistine woman. And he liked what he saw. And he decided he was going to take her as his wife. Now keep in mind his Nazarite vow. Keep in mind, amen, that he made a vow. Amen. His mother had made that vow, and he had established that vow in his life. And when he went to his dad, he said, Dad, I want to marry that woman. I want her to be my wife. His father discouraged it. His father said, can you not find a wife in our people, in the Israelites? Do you have to go into the Philistines? Isn't it bad enough, amen, that they have taken over us and that they have infiltrated our very lives? Now you're going to take a wife over there, amen. But listen, amen, what they did not understand was that it was an opportunity for Samson to infiltrate and to fight the Philistines. So if he would take this Philistine woman as his wife, he would now have access into the Philistine army. Amen. He would have a little bit more, amen, of a probability of being able to get in to where they were. Remember, his destiny was to begin to defeat the Philistines for Israel. Amen. But the Bible says that as he was on his way to get his bride, as he was moving on his way to get his bride, he discovered his strength. He did not realize that he had the supernatural strength that he had until he was on on his way to get his bride. And as he was on his way, there was a lion that tried to attack him. And the Bible says that he took that lion and he tore that lion into pieces as if it was a little goat. That's what the Bible says. He literally tore that lion into little pieces. Amen. This is when Samson was like, whoa. Where did that come from? Come on, somebody. Amen. He was like, whoa. He, before he knew it, he had overtaken that lion and literally ripped that lion into pieces. This is when he discovered his strength. But he didn't tell his parents about it. He didn't reveal this to his parents. And so, amen, the Bible says that when he went back to his dad, amen, and his dad confirmed everything, that as he was now on his way to celebrate the marriage, amen, he had now established that he was going to marry this young woman. And now, amen, as he is on his way to celebrate his marriage, the Bible says that he saw the dead carcass of that lion, that he was on his way back and he saw, amen, the remains of that lion. But there had been a bee's nest had been made inside that carcass, and they had made honey. And so he saw the honey, and the Bible said he took his hand and he scooped that honey, amen, and he began to eat that honey as he made his way, amen, to celebrate the marriage. And the Bible says that when he got to his parents, that he even gave them some of the honey in order for them to eat as well. Amen. Understand this. Part of his Nazarite vow was he was not supposed to touch any dead thing. And so he broke that Nazarite vow, which is why he didn't tell his parents, amen, where the honey came from. Can I tell you today, hallelujah, that you can have consecration, but if you don't have communion, it is nothing, amen, but works. You can set aside your life to follow this, to follow that, to follow this religious duty and that religious law and that religious duty, but if you do not have a communion, a fellowship with Jesus Christ through his blood and the covenant that God established, it is nothing but vain works. It is nothing but vain works. So consecration without communion is just going to get you nowhere. But when you make up your mind that I'm going to keep my commitment, I'm going to stand in the covenant of the God who said he would stay with me. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. And then when you begin to do and walk according to the word, hallelujah, now you have fellowship with the one who was there when the word was spoken. Somebody better help me in this place. Now something's going to be different about your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, what's it take to tie you up? Amen. Now you got to understand that the Bible says that this was a custom. So only way I know to describe it for our culture is they were having a bachelor party. He was going to a party. He was going to celebrate. Amen. So it'd be kind of like a bachelor party today. You're like, well, we do that before we get married. We don't do much of anything like they used to. Okay, so our customs are different. Are you with me? Amen. Does it make them wrong or right, or make theirs wrong or right? Amen. But you understand they were already committed. They were already, when they made that engagement, that was their commitment, that vow. Are you understanding me? So anyhow, amen, he was on his way to celebrate the marriage in order to have this like bachelor party. Amen. It was a custom. And for this reason, the Philistines gave him 30 men. Amen. To be with him. So these men were going to his, if I can say it like this, to his bachelor party, and he gave them, amen, those 30 men. And so when Samson got among those 30 men and they were sitting somehow, he gave those 30 men a riddle, amen. He gave them a riddle about the lion, amen, and his strength. He gave them a riddle to solve, knowing that they probably would not be able to solve it. And he said, if you solve this riddle within the time frame, which was 7 days, the celebration 7 days. He said, if you solve this riddle, I will give each of you good clothes. And so if I can say that, he's going to give them, amen, suits. He's going to give them the, amen, some good outfits. Are you with me? Amen. Gucci and all, I don't even know the names of them. That's the only one that came to mind. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. But anyhow, he's going to give them a fine outfit. Amen. A nice suit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, if you can solve this riddle, well, they couldn't answer it. Amen. So after 3 days, they had racked their brain. They couldn't answer it. So they pressed his wife. Do you know what the answer to this riddle is? They said, if you do not find out the answer to this riddle, we're going to set your father's house on fire with you in it. I told you they were ruthless, they were mean, and they were restless. They looked for reasons to be nasty. Come on, are you with me? Evil minds, are you understanding that? Hey, amen. They said, if you do not give us this answer, amen, we're going to set your daddy's house on fire with you in it. So she goes to Samson and she starts crying. She starts telling him, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening? Amen. And so Samson revealed the answer. Samson told her what the answer to the riddle was. Amen. So she, of course, went. And the Bible says that on the seventh day, they came to Samson and they said, we know the answer to the riddle. You've got this supernatural strength. And there was honey in the lion. And there's that lion could not overtake you. Yada, yada, yada. Amen. He knew. And there was no way that they would know that unless his wife had told them. So the Bible says that, amen, they told him that, and he was angry. Amen. He was angry because they cheated and they did that, but he kept his word. So the Bible says he went and he killed 30 Philistine men and took their good suits off of them and gave that unto, amen, gave that to, amen, those 30 men. So he kept his word. Amen. But then when he gets to his father-in-law, amen, goes back, he finds out that his father-in-law had given his wife to his best man. Write that one in a story, amen. You can't make this stuff up. Amen. He had found out that his father-in-law had gave his wife to his best man. And his father said, well, I thought you hated her. I just assumed you didn't like her. He said, you can have her younger sister. She's prettier than she is anyway. That's what he said. He said, she's prettier than the older one. He said, you can have her if you want. And he was so angry. Now he's starting to become a vigilante. He's starting to act outside of his own, outside of God's will. He's starting to act on his own feelings and emotions. Can I get an amen? Amen. Ain't nobody in here but me ever do that. I'm sure. The Bible says that somehow, I don't know how many days it took, I don't know how many people helped him. He may have done it all by himself. The Bible doesn't give the details, but the Bible simply said he caught 300 foxes. Amen. And when you look at the Hebrew interpretation, that's a jackal. He caught 300 jackals. He tied their tails together, and he put a torch on each of those, tails, amen, and he released those jackals into the wheat field of the Philistines. Now, understand, it was harvest time, amen, and the wheat was the top of the crop, amen. The wheat brought in the most money. The wheat was, amen, the cream of the crop, and so he set those foxes, amen, so 150, amen, duos of foxes go running into the wheat field with their tails on fire, and they burn up that, amen, all of that harvest. Are you with me? Now the Philistines were angry, and you know who they were angry at? They were angry at his ex-father-in-law or his father-in-law and his wife, whatever that she was. They were angry at them. So what did they do? They burned them. They set his father-in-law and his wife on fire, and they killed them. So they were destroyed and killed because of what he did. So now a man, Samson, was mad again. So he retaliated. Imagine that. He retaliated in anger, and the Bible says that he just started going off. He began killing them hip and thigh, is what the King James says, but it literally is left and right. Amen. It was literally a massacre, a one-man massacre. Samson went, and he just started killing off the Philistines because of what they had done, how they acted. So, amen, right and left, anyone that come in front of him, he cut them off. He killed them. Amen. To where it was literally a massacre at the hand of one man. Are you with me? I'm just laying a foundation. Amen. Praise God. You got to know what's happening. Amen. To understand what God is saying. Amen. And so, of course, the Philistines are a little ticked off about that. Amen. The Bible says that Samson went to a cave. Amen. I look at it like he kind of went and hid. Amen. But he was alone. He was by himself. There was nobody. Anybody ever felt alone? Anybody ever felt like nobody else understands? Anybody but me ever felt like that you're the only one in the midst of the circumstances, that everybody's around you, but they're not even really there? It's just you and your mess. Come on. And you feel like, amen, that there's not going to be any hope. Amen. He went and hid in that cave. But the Bible says that the Philistines went to Judah and they set up encampment. In other words, they put up tents and they surrounded Judah. Amen. Judah is part of Israel. And the Bible says that they said, we're looking for this man named Samson. Amen. For what he has done to us, we want to kill him. Well, amen, the people of Judah, knowing that the Philistines were already controlling them, they were already under their domination, 3,000 men of Judah went to the cave where Samson was and said, they're come to kill you, to take you. And they said, we're going to take you, amen, prisoner, and we're going to turn you over to the Philistines. So the Bible says that, amen, now imagine this, Samson let them do it. But, amen, they tied him up with ropes, and they were taking him hostage to the Philistines. The Bible says when the Philistines started shouting at Samson when they saw him coming, imagine, oh, yeah, now we got it. Can I tell you how many times I believe the enemy and hell has rejoiced when they saw me coming, when my hands were tied, when I felt like that I couldn't do anymore, when it looked like that nothing was going to change, when it looked like the circumstances surrounding me was impossible, and my mind was crowded and my heart was broken, and it looked as if God was not going to come to my rescue, they began to shout. But the Bible says that strength rose up in Samson, and he burst those ropes off of him. Somebody better help me in this place. And he looked down, and there was a fresh jawbone of a donkey. And he picked up that jawbone. He took that jawbone, and he slew 1,000 of those Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. I wish somebody would help me. I'm going to preach on that jawbone sometime. Hallelujah. But he took a hold of that. Hallelujah. And he slew 1,000 of them. And he overcame them. This one thing I will say, when you commit, amen, that you're going to serve the Lord, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, no matter what you lose, no matter what you gain, God's going to send reinforcements. And he'll give you everything that you need to defeat the enemy. I just feel like telling somebody today, it's just about over. It's just about over. Oh, I feel that. Became like flax in a fire. Yeah. God will fight your battle for you. God will meet you at the point of that no return. When you get to the point, listen, amen, listen, it was him and the Philistines, and he had 3,000 brothers behind him, amen, giving him over to the enemy. Amen, when you're standing by yourself, if mama don't go, if daddy don't go, if your spouse don't go, if your children don't go, you got to make up your mind, I'm going anyhow. I'm going anyhow. Ooh, somebody help me. When nobody else understands it, when nobody else wants to see it, God said, if you'll hold to what I promise you, Israel for 20 years and they lived in peace. Oh, come on, somebody. The shalom of Jesus. That peace that surpasses everything that you understand, that you don't understand, and that don't make sense, and that makes sense, it goes beyond it. Can I tell you, you may not see it right now. But if you'll believe, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit, of faith, faithfulness on Thursday night. Amen. Praise God. The faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
If you'll trust in His faithfulness, not mine,
amen.
Not anyone else's, not the church's, but if you'll trust in His faithfulness, He will be faithful to His word. Remember the covenant. Amen. Now the Bible says that at that point that Samson was thirsty. And he prayed to God. I don't know who I'm talking to today. We preached last Sunday about being thirsty. And everybody gets thirsty. Amen. You gotta receive it. You gotta receive the drink. Amen. You gotta drink again. And again, when you've tried Jesus and all His ways and you're thirsty, drink again.
Amen.
Just keep drinking from that well that doesn't run out. Come on. Are you with me? The Bible said he was thirsty and he prayed to God and asked for water. And the Bible says that out of the hollow of the ground that God brought water.
Yes, He did.
For Samson.
Let me do it.
You imagine that? God comes down, scoops out a place in the earth, fills it up with water and says, there you go, son.
Amen.
Won't He do it?
Amen.
Won't He do it? So if you're thirsty, you said, I pray, pray again.
Amen.
You said, I praise, praise again.
Amen.
Come on. I fasted, fast again. Do all that you know to do. And you stand right there and watch the deliverance of God bring it to pass. He's breaking down walls right now as I'm talking, as the word of God is being spoken, those walls being broken down. Hard hearts are being softened in the name of Jesus. Prodigals are on their way back in the name of Jesus. Promises are getting ready to open up. Listen, listen, Linda, listen. We are only 2 weeks away from Pentecost Sunday. You might be between Passover and Pentecost, but if you'll trust Him all the way to the threshold, He will accomplish that which He has established over your life. Hallelujah. Now, Bible says he went to Gaza. I'm telling you, Samson was messed up. He had a covenant, and God's hand was obviously over his life, but he had some problems. So, you know, they took his wife from him, and his wife had then got burned up, set on fire, And the Bible says when he went to Gaza, he saw a prostitute. The boy's messed up now. Just like all of us. Come on. And the Bible said he went in, spent the night with her. Dummy.
All right.
Listen, you're not going, dummy. What kind of dum-dum does that? Me and you?
Yes.
We've all been the dum-dum.
Yeah.
More times than I want to be admitting. But the Philistines knew that he was in the house. And the Bible says that they surrounded the place to seize him. Now, they didn't want to do it in the middle of the night, but they were surrounding him, and they were going to wait till the morning. But Samson perceived that something was going on. The Bible says he came up out of that house at midnight, and he went down to the city gates, and he took the city gates and the columns on either side, the posts on either side of the city gates. The Bible said he pulled them up out of the ground, put them on his shoulder, and carried them up the hill. I mean, those walls will come down. Oh, hallelujah, you ain't with me. Amen, praise God. Hallelujah, he carried that on his shoulder to the top of the hill. Needless to say, they skedaddled. They were not successful. But then the Bible says, after a certain amount of time, that he fell in love again. God bless. I love being married. I do. I love being married. I've said that before. But I can be single. At this age and pay, at this point in time in my life, amen, praise God, not that I want to be, but I love being married. I'm not saying I'm, she wants you to make sure I'm not, like, projecting me. She's in the So don't look to her for help. And don't look to Haley. Amen. Anyhow, he fell in love again with a woman named Delilah. When he fell in love with Delilah, the Philistines didn't like Samson. But they knew Samson was strong. So now they didn't fool with him. They're like, yeah, we ain't going to mess with that dude. He's done killed thousands of our people. We watched him pick up the city gates and carry him on the shoulder over the hill. Now, we're good with that. So the chiefs of the Philistines went to Delilah, and each of them offered her 1,100 pieces of silver if she could get Samson to reveal the source of his strength. I don't know how many chief Philistines there were, but Lord, one give me 1,100 pieces of silver. I'd probably do it. 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, you got to imagine, she was a pagan. She had no love for God. She was a Philistine. Her mind and her mindset, that's what I'm talking about. So she could get him to reveal the source of his strength. And so the Bible says she had them lying in wait in the room. I want to preach on that this morning. If some of you only knew what the enemy had lying in wait to try to take you down, to try to destroy your marriage, to destroy your family, to destroy your finances, to take your mind, to take your mindset, to try to invade your peace and your joy. If you only knew what was lying in wait, you'd stay faithful to the covenant.
Amen.
Amen. So the Bible says she had been lying in wait. Amen. In that room. So she asked him what made him so strong and how someone could tie him up and take over him. She said, what would it take to tie you up so that you could be overcome? She said, what's it take, Samson? What's it take to tie you up? Now, the Bible says that he lied to her three times. He's batting a thousand, ain't he? He lied to her three times. The first time he told her, he said, if they hit 7 fresh bowstrings and tie me up. I can't get loose. She runs to those demon flying away. She said, he said, seven fresh bow strings, tie him up, and he wouldn't be able to get loose. He'd be able to take it. So they go get seven fresh bow strings, tie him up. She said, Samson, the Philistines have come to get you. Those bow strings just broke all in shreds. She said, you lied to me. You told me there was seven bucks. He's like, I know. Really what it is if they get new ropes and tie me up, then I won't be able to get loose. She goes running to those demons lying in wait. Boys, it's new ropes. Go get new ropes that have never been used. Bring it back. And I'll tie him up. I'll get him and I'll tie him up. So she did, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he comes to himself and all those ropes just disintegrated. Now Delilah's getting ticked. She's like, you lied to me again. If you really loved me, you would tell me the truth. Hang on, boys. Girls, Billy Bob and Sally Sue may say they love you to the end, but you better know. Come on, don't make a covenant unless you know it's God's destiny. Come on, somebody help me. I don't know who that's for, but take it and cost you anything. And so she said, if you really love me, Samson, you would tell me the truth. He said, okay. You take my seven locks of my long hair. Remember, he's never had a razor taken to his hair. You take my seven locks of hair and you weave it in the cloth of your weaver's loom, then I can't get loose. So, shrew, pattern, the devil thinks he's slick, but he can only do so much. So what she did, she took his hair and she wove it into the cloth on the weaver's loom. And she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He comes to himself and his hair comes right out of that tapestry, right out of that weaver's loom. She's like, you said you loved me. You lied to me three times now, Samson. I can't believe that you've lied to me three times. Look, she's got her eyes on silver.
Right.
She's got her eyes on that money and that wealth. Amen. She may have loved Samson, I don't know, but she loved the money more than she did Samson. She loved the idea of gaining the wealth. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? We talked about that on Thursday night too. Either love God or money, one or the other. You can't love them both. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. She was so upset. Amen. Till she tormented Samson. The Bible says that she tormented him about it so much that it was literally unto death. She was killing him. Said she tormented him unto death. Tell me. Please tell me what it is. You don't love me. You really don't love me, Samson. If you love me, you would tell me. I don't know why you won't tell me. I don't know why I'm your wife. You're supposed to love me. I don't understand, Samson. Why? Come on. How many knows the enemy will berate you? The enemy is relentless. You have to outlast the devil. When he says, do not ever let him have the last word. When he says it ain't going to happen, even when you don't feel it, smell it, see it, you say, yes, it is. In the name of Jesus, do not let him have the last word. When you let him walk away having the upper hand, he will not shut his mouth. He will release demon after demon to come and torment you and convince you that what he said was the truth. But if you will speak the word and you will declare it, listen, Jesus had the last word. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sits on the throne, and this earth is his footstool. He was and is to come. The ancient of days. Help me today. She pressed him and nagged him and tormented him. And then she lulled him to sleep until she found out. Finally, Samson was like, she's killing me. Literally, that's what the Bible says. It was unto death. Now, that's a pretty serious torment. But I've been there. I've had the suicide note written out. I took the pills from the cabinet, and I had a plan, and I had a plot, and I had something I was going to do, but you see, thank God for destiny over my life. Yes, yes. So funny. I was walking in a place in my life where when I went to church, and I was faithful, I went to church. I had consecration, but I didn't have communion.
Right.
And I would flip out. I would shake and sweat whenever the Spirit would start speaking. Somebody would go to give the gift of interpretation and gift of prophecy. I'd be like, oh, God, here it is. See, I'm going to get told on right now. That's it. God's going to out me in front of all these people. I'd be like, God, please don't speak. Please don't speak. Please don't say it. Please don't speak. That's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
God, please don't speak. And so when I'm just sing, preach, go on. Come on, let's get this thing going. Just get him, get out of here. And see, at this time, we went to church on Tuesday nights, on Saturday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Okay? Plus, we traveled and sang. But this time, I went to church wanting God to speak. Because I know who I'm talking to today. I know I've shared this before, but I just feel compelled to say it. I'm trying to move forward. And I decided with all that I was living in, see, I struggled with same-sex attraction. I was convinced I was born that way, and I loved God. And I wasn't convinced it was God's destiny for my life. I knew that it was not God's will, that God did not create me to be that way. But I was tired. I was tired of being fake. I was tired of putting up a front. I was tired, just tired.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to live. I can't live for God. I just don't want to live. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
If I couldn't do it right, I don't want to do it at all.
Right.
Yeah. I had it all figured out. And went to church on a Saturday night. I'll never forget. I can still see myself sitting there in that little church by the window, watching, looking out the street. And I was thinking, okay, God, please just let somebody tell me something. Speak to me, God. Here I was all these other times, don't speak at all. Now I'm like, speak to me, God. Speak to me. And he never said a word.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going home to my apartment. It's in Grove City. Going to my apartment. Hadn't been home. Had not, of course, not said anything to anybody. Had this all in my mind. And there was a knock on my door. Just a faint knock. This was a Saturday night. Just a knock on my door. I opened it up and it was my mom. Mm-hmm. My grandma was behind her. And it was Bonnie and Clyde. Flipping fray. Trouble and more trouble. That's what that was.
To the devil.
Dynamic duo. Yeah, spiritually speaking.
Yeah.
And she said, I was on my way home, son. And the Lord told me, stop and pray for you. She said, so whether you want me to or not, I'm going to pray for you. Well, if you knew my mom, you didn't tell her that. But understand, God was talking to me. She never said nothing special. She prayed her prayer like she does. Slap me. Tell me what's still. Pulled the oil out of her purse like she always kept it there.
Yeah.
Prayed as earnest as she prayed for everything else. My grandma behind her, reinforcements. And she left. And that's the reason I'm still here today.
Amen.
God spoke to me. to the enemy. I said all that to say this. I know what it's like to feel tormented to death. To feel like that dice is the best option. God will keep you if you ask Him to keep you. If you want to be kept, He'll keep you. If you want to find Him, amen, look for Him. You'll find Him. He's not trying to hide from you today. He's not trying to keep Himself from you. Amen? We're the ones that get lost. Are you with me? So he tormented her. She tormented him until he said, okay, it's because I've never cut my hair. Now here's what I need you to understand. There was no power in Samson's hair. There was no strength in that long hair. He could have had it till it was like a king's robe behind him. The strength was not in his hair. The strength was in the obedience that he refused to cut the hair and keep the covenant that God made with him. Are you with me? That's why your works, you're going to have hair down to your ankles, sleeves that cover everything, even your knuckles. Amen. And amen. And have all of this. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But if you're not keeping covenant, if you're not walking in obedience, it's not going to bring you anything. You can follow all the rules, but if you're not in covenant with the Father through Jesus Christ, it is not going to benefit you anything. Do you understand me? The strength was not in the hair. It was in the covenant and his willingness to obey God.
Amen.
And so what'd she do? She lulled him to sleep. Let me just say this to somebody that's listening to me today. Don't let the enemy put you to sleep. I know you feel drowsy, and I know that you feel, but the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Shake yourself. Get somebody to pinch you. Get somebody to punch you, trip you. Do whatever it takes to wake yourself up spiritually that you do not let the enemy put you to sleep and convince you to get out of the will of God. Are you with me? Hold fast. She lulled him to sleep and she cut all 7 locks of his hair off. And so she said, now think about this. See, Samson was tired. We don't know how much time passed. But she had him tormented literally to death. And the dude was tired. He told her, finally she'll shut up. Seriously. Now I can rest. Just stop. Just leave me alone. You ever felt like that with the enemy? Just
leave me
alone. Come on. She said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. This time, he shook himself and realized, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Because his strength was gone. He realized that she cut his hair. Now remember, he had touched a dead carcass. I don't know. Now, those feasts, those bachelor parties were just drinking feasts. That's all those were. I don't know if old boy drank or not. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know, despite all of that, he never put the razor to his head. Because that's what the angel, I can imagine his mom saying, Samson, do not ever cut your hair. The angel said, not, and I promised that I would never let you cut your hair. Samson, don't you dare cut your hair. Samson, don't you dare cut it. Imagine telling Merritt not to cut his hair. Come on. Amen. Don't you cut your hair, Samson. You cut your hair, you're going to break your vow with God. Samson, don't do so. This is ingrained in him. So I don't think cutting his hair was ever an option. He stuck his hand on the dead carcass, amen, done all those other things, married outside, amen, of his people, but he would not put a razor to his hair. Are you with me? And when he realized, amen, the weight that wasn't on his head, he's like, uh-oh. And the Bible says they took him, amen, they seized him, they put him, amen, in brass chains, amen, and they gouged his eyes out. They literally gouged his eyeballs out. And they put him in bronze chains. I don't know what I said. I say comfort? Did I say bronze? Okay. Brass. It was bronze. Brass, bronze, whatever. There is a difference, but you know what I mean. They put him in bronze chains, and they put him in prison. But the Bible says that his hair started growing back. I'm here to tell somebody today, don't you give up.
Amen.
I felt that this morning. Don't you give up. Your hair is growing back. Your strength is coming back. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's a God of faithfulness. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of justice and your destiny. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? And the Bible said that his hair began to grow back. Amen. Hallelujah. And then they began to offer up sacrifice to Dagon, their God. And the Bible says that they were just enjoying this after, amen, some time had passed. And then the Bible says that they were out in the Colosseum. Amen. They were out in the Colosseum. And there was literally thousands of men and women inside the Colosseum. Amen. And the Bible says that Delilah and the chief priests were in, amen, inside there. And they decided, they said, you know what? Let's bring him out. We want to make fun of him. We want to act like, amen, we're going to show him just how strong he isn't. Amen. So the Bible says that now when they put him in prison, they attached him to the grinding mill. If you don't know what a grinding mill is, it was a big stone wheel, amen, that they had usually attached an ox to. Amen. And that ox would walk in circles around and around and around and around. Amen. Grinding the grain. Well, they put Samson instead of the ox. So day and night, Samson had to walk, amen, and move and grind the grain. They put him at the grinding mill. And so they brought him. They said, bring him out. We're going to make fun of him. We're going to show. We're going to have where he's going to be our entertainment. And so the Bible says, amen, you can be Samson if you will. Amen. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God and trust me. That's a lot, I know. Hallelujah. Let's go down. Step down. Step down. You look. Step down. Go ahead. All right. Now close your eyes. So they're bringing him out. And what they planned to do was they were going to put him between the two columns there in the Colosseum. And they were going to taunt him and say, okay, Samson, bring it down. And of course, he had no strength, so he could be like, and nothing was going to happen. So those that were leading him out, getting to the columns, and the Bible says, now remember, he's blind. The Bible says that he said to the young man that was leading him, put my right hand and my left hand on the columns. Make sure that I'm there, that my hands are on the columns, okay? So they're ready to say, all right, come on. You imagine they get everybody clapping. They're celebrating to their pagan god. They're half drunk. Amen. They're lit out of their minds. And they're just all involved in this. They've won the battle. They have succeeded. Can I tell you how many times the enemy has celebrated over your demise? He has celebrated over the fact that he's got you right where he wants you. But I'm telling somebody, your strength is coming back. Your strength is coming back. He's not just a God of faithfulness. He's a God of restoration. He's a God. Oh, come on. He's a God of more than enough. And if he made you a promise, he's going to save your household. He's going to save your household. If he made a promise, he's going to heal you. He's going to heal you. Come on, somebody. He's going to do it. Amen. So they're clapping. They're getting all excited. Hallelujah. Those chief Philistines are getting ready to say, all right, Samson, here he is. Amen. Still partially without his hair. Can't see. His eyeballs are out. They're clapping and laughing. But he looks up to God and he says, Samson, and Samson said to God, God, if you'll hear me just one more time, if you'll hear me just one more time and let these walls come down, you can take me with you. I'll die with them, but at least I'll die knowing that the victory belonged to you. Oh, come on, somebody. trying to get there. I'm not finished. I haven't even got to my point yet.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
He said, God, if you'll hear me one more time. I'm telling somebody, pray one more time. Declare it one more time. Speak it one more time. Praise it one more time. Shout it one more time. Leap for joy one more time. Dance before the Lord one more time. God, somebody help me in this place. Pushing. And the Bible says that the Colosseum was filled with thousands of men and women, including Goliath and Amen, the chief priest. But he said, also said there was 3,000 on the roof. 3,000 of them on the roof. So there was literally thousands. Picture that, picture that, picture that. And Samson begins to, Amen, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And he felt his strength. He couldn't see what God was doing, but he knew God was doing it. Come on, somebody help me. You may not be able to see what's happening, but you can know that God is behind everything that's happening. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Do you understand? And he said, hallelujah, as he said it, he began to push. And the Bible says that the walls of that Colosseum began to crumble. And every last Philistine was killed. Samson killed more in the latter part of his life than he did up to that point. Thank you, son. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
He called on God for restoration. I'm telling you, when you call on Jesus, he will answer. See, the enemy don't want you to realize that there's restoration for you, for your family, for your marriage, for your home, for your mind, for your health, for your finances. He don't want you to realize there's restoration for you. I feel that in this place. I'm trying to finish. I promise. I've done it for about 3 or 4 times. But can I tell you, he doesn't want you to know that there's restoration. He don't want you to realize it. He wants you to get so involved in what's going on in your life that he wants to lull you to sleep and that he wants to cut you from your covenant. He wants to pull you away from your obedience, from your commitment. Come on, that's covenant. But see, you're yielding to God's purpose. Will defeat demons.
Amen.
I said when you yield to God's purpose, it will defeat demons.
Absolutely.
Every time. Every time. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Can I tell you that we are to be the praise of God's glory? Each and every one of us was created to be the praise of God's glory. Before you were ever destined to be a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, a missionary, a worship leader, amen, any other career, amen, praise God. Before you were ever destined, amen, to do the things you're doing, you were created for the purpose of being the praise of God's glory. We were created to worship him. This is why he went to such extremes to get Jesus to die so that he could restore us back to relationship with him so he could have his people, his creation, worshiping him like they were supposed to. Now, can I tell you, worship is conduct and not just words. So I ain't got time to preach there because I done kept it longer than I planned. But worship is not just words, but it's also conduct. It's how you respond to his word. Your obedience to his covenant. And so, the sign of our covenant is worship. The sign that we are a covenant people with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our worship. Remember, that's conduct and our words, okay? So the sign of our covenant is worship. Praise is a sign of our worship. Are you with me? Praise and worship are two different things. Worship is a lifestyle. Praise is a response. With me? Worship is a lifestyle. Praise is a response. Now, in your response with praise, that's worship. Because it's a lifestyle. But worship is a lifestyle. Conduct and words. Are you with me? Praise is a response. Okay? So worship is the sign of our covenant, and praise is the sign of our worship. That make sense, y'all?
Yeah.
And we were created to do what? Be the praise of His glory. Right? We were created to worship Him, and we were meant to be the praise of His glory. Can I tell you, do not let the enemy take your sign of covenant.
Amen.
You say, what's my sign of covenant? Were you not listening to me just 30 seconds ago? Your worship is a sign of your covenant. So don't let the enemy take your worship.
Amen.
Your worship is your conduct as well as your words. You say, well, my conduct hasn't been very becoming of a Christian. Aren't you thankful that there's grace and mercy? Okay, I'm not condoning that. I'm not saying, that's okay, don't matter. It does matter, amen. But what is the key when your conduct, when your life, when the worship isn't complete and isn't everything that it should be unto God, amen, you understand that it's not anything in you, it's not anything that you have done or you haven't done, but it's in your response to Him. So what do? You come up out of that and you lift your hands and you praise Him anyhow. Come on, somebody, even when you don't feel worthy, you praise Him. So your praise is a sign that you still are worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though you may not have it right. You still know where to go to get it right. Come on, somebody, help me. That's the difference. Come on, in a religious experience and a fellowship and a relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. You know where to go to get it right. So when I mess up, I'm going to praise Him anyhow. When I get it right, I'm going to praise Him anyhow. Praise is the sign of our worship. And worship is the sign of our covenant. Don't let the enemy cut your hair.
Amen.
Don't let him convince you that your worship, your life of obedience, of all that you've done thus far, is in vain. You praise Him anyway. Because praise, what's the Bible say? Praise brings God into your circumstances. That's why when you are laying in your filth, when you are laying in your mess up, when you are laying in your amen, and everything that's not right, if you'll lift your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help, and you'll cry out to God as Samson did, God, let everything that I do, God, if this is the last thing that I do, I'm going to praise you. If this is the last thing that I do, I'm going to praise you. And you'll kill off more demons than you ever have in all of your life. Because they never thought you would be back up. Come on, somebody, you don't understand. Are you with me? Do you get what the Lord is saying to you today?
Amen.
Praise brings God into our circumstances. He inhabits, He comes down and dwells and settles in the praises of His people.
Absolutely.
I couldn't help. Never have I ever thought about it till this morning when I was studying this and putting this together for today. But I was thinking about praise and about our covenant and our sign of covenant and Samson's hair being his sign of covenant. And about praise bringing God into a circumstance. And I thought about Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
You don't know, real quick, Paul and Silas were good people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were put in the inner prison for preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
But somewhere along about midnight, same time Samson rose up out of his sin. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? He rose up out. Oh, hallelujah. Samson might have realized, what am I doing laying here with this whore? What am I doing laying here with this harlot? This is not who God created me to be. Come on, somebody, you understand? That's all you got to do when you get to that point that you feel like you messed up so bad. You just got to realize this is not where God wants me to be. So all I have to do is get up out of it. Get up out of it. You may not be right yet, but you're on your way to get it right. But you got to get up out of it first. Come on, somebody, do you hear? About midnight, he decided he was going to praise God. Same time that Paul and Silas, Paul's like, Silas, I know it hurts. I know we're bleeding. I know, amen, that this ain't fun, but we ain't got nothing better to do than to give the Lord some praise. And they begin to praise the Lord about midnight. And what happened? The gates of that prison begin to come up out of the ground. The walls came down just like Samson did with the gates. Hear me? The question is, what the enemy wants to know today is, he praise results. The results of praise reveal the strength of covenant to the enemy. I said the results of praise will reveal the strength of covenant to the enemy. If you can praise him when everything is falling apart, you are strong. We know it ain't in us. We know it's in him. That when I am the weakest, that's when his strength is made perfect. How are you going to perfect that strength? By lifting up your hands and giving him praise as a sign that you're going to worship him. You're in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you don't care what anybody or anything else says or does. Are you with me? Watch heads roll.
Yeah.
Watch demons' heads roll. Come on, I need that. I'm about to close. They're going to come to the music, or I might preach a little longer. But can I tell you, if he wants to tie you up and bind up your praise, that's the whole gist of my message. He wants to tie you up and bind your praise, and he's got this question for you. What's it going to take to tie you up? That's what Delilah said to Samson. She said, Samson, what is it going to take to tie you up? What's it going to take to bind you? Reveal your strength. Come on, are you with me? And that's what the Lord spoke to me today. To say to you, what's it take to tie you up? What is worth more than the covenant blessings of this God? What can the enemy, what can the world, what can hell give you more than the covenant faithfulness and blessing promises of God? Nothing more. But I tell you what they will give you: bitterness, hate, anger, jealousy, strife, manipulation, control, injustice. Come on. Are you with me? Disunity. That's what it'll give you. Sickness all the way to death. That's what it'll give you. So God's going to do it. Are you with me? He spoke to me. I was a mess yesterday in my mind. Busy all day. Busy just doing stuff that needed to be done. Working. And all day long, God, I need you to speak to me. I didn't have a word for today. My God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to get me something. I prayed and I saw it and nothing. As I was on my way, as I got in my truck this morning, about 4:20, and I was on my way, he spoke it to me. He said to me. That's what he said. And he told me, he gave me this word today. I've never preached it like this before. Maybe never will again. As many times as I've preached on Samson. Samson raised up out of that bed of sin, and he said, I'm not going to let the enemy take me over. I'm going to praise him.
Amen.
Come on, are you with me? Sing because of grace. Say, begin to worship. If you're in this place, if you need to leave today, we understand. We appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Today, first and foremost, if you're lost and you don't know Jesus, you're backslidden. You have not made the step of giving Jesus your life. I'm going to ask you to come today. God loves you so much. So much that he saw you couldn't do it on your own, couldn't do it within our own works, so he sent Jesus to take our place. And he made a place for you at the table. So if that's you today, I want you to come. While there might be some contemplating that decision today, I know, because I feel it in my spirit, that there's folks in here today. The enemy's trying to tie you up. He's made some of you think that you're out of place. Because you can't see it. That is not. But I've come today to tell you that God is bringing restoration and your strength's coming back. The enemy's going to ask you, what's he picked to tie you up? Don't let him have your sign of covenant. That's your praise and your worship. Don't let him have it. If you feel like that, maybe you're here today and you feel like that he's already taken it. Maybe you feel like that you're bound up. I don't know. Whatever it is, and however you fit into this message or category, get out of your seat quickly and come this way. We want to pray with you. Come on, we want to pray with you. Come on, come on.